You may be familiar with the classic Christian allegory Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan. But Steve Cleary says, what most people don't know is that we have that book today because John Bunyan chose to embrace suffering.
Bunyan wrote it in prison. He didn't have to stay in prison. They offered him, sign this letter, you'll stop preaching, and you can get out of prison. And he said, no, if you let me out, I'm going to preach. Now think about it. If I was there with him, I'd say, John, just sign the letter, you know, preach a little. And I didn't feel overwhelmed by the suffering he endured. I felt overwhelmed by his choice to go there. So my heart was saying, don't set yourself up to endure all the suffering.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. We'll hear today about a modern retelling of John Bunyan's classic story that is coming to a theater near you. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. So tell everybody what we just did. We just went to the movies, right?
We went to the movies and had popcorn.
Yeah, we did. And, and tell everybody what we saw.
We saw an amazing animated movie called Pilgrim's Progress, and it was amazing.
It's going to be in theaters next week on Thursday night and on Saturday. And it really was a great experience. We've got the executive producer of that film with us today, Steve Cleary. Steve, welcome to Family Life Today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And we've got Robert Fernandez, who directed and wrote the script. Although I have to say, you had pretty good source material you were working from as you wrote that, as you adapted the story.
Kind of.
Welcome to Family Life Today.
Thank you.
This is a project you guys have been working on for about 5 years now.
5 years.
So take us back to the genesis of wanting to turn what is the second most popular, most widely read book in history beside the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress, to turn that into an animated feature.
Well, you know, I think it started as a dream and it started as a legacy project. Robert and I were good friends and we've worked on a lot of projects together. And we were sitting in his office one night and we were just dreaming. And we talked about how we make a lot of films or do a lot of projects for other people. But what would we do if we could leave something to our grandkids? And Robert was a new grandfather and I am now a grandfather. We said, what would we do? We'd make a movie. And we literally had like $60,000 and three people to work in a kitchen and is what we started with. And it was a dream and it was kind of a crazy dream. But I remember calling Robert the next morning and saying, hey, do you want to start working on that movie? And he goes, you were serious?
why Pilgrim's Progress?
You know, it goes back to my journey as I came to know the Lord when I was 14 years old. And I was one of these people. I came to know the Lord through a rock station in L.A. Not a Christian rock station, just a regular rock station. And people were doing interviews in Sunset Boulevard and kind of saying crazy stuff. And some guy got the mic. And literally, I think in about a minute, he just gave a verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I was on the other end listening. I almost turned it off because I didn't want to hear anything about religion. And that verse, I went to my room and I said, Jesus, if you are real, you're here. Enter into my heart and show me why I exist. That was my big question.
From one verse in 60 seconds on a radio station.
From one verse. And I have to say that obviously God had been working in my life. You know, as a kid, there was a lot of questions that I had. But I had one of those experiences that I changed. I mean, literally, my life changed. And within, like the way the Holy Spirit can just say something to you that's almost like an encyclopedia in about 10 seconds, it just kind of programs you.
Wow.
And I knew that Jesus had died for me. I knew that I belonged to him. It was like I was branded. And I didn't know what to do because I'd grown up Catholic. And so my first thought was like, maybe I'm a saint. You know, that was a sort of because I didn't know what to call it.
Which,
and I
went to talk to people. By the way, you were at that
point.
Well,
yeah, you know, but in a different sense.
Yeah.
And so anyway, going back to your question, my journey as a Christian was one that it was initially full of joy and of great joy that I just wanted to share with everybody. In the 60s, you talk to anybody, any part, you know, and people are always willing to listen to you. And so I was like really into that. It was, but I didn't know. I didn't have the theology. And so years later, you know, after, you know, serving the Lord and realizing that a lot of people had come to this sort of God is my best friend. And so who wants to go to heaven? Raise your hand. And this is like instant conversion. But my life hadn't been that way. My life had a lot of ups and downs, even when I gave my life to the Lord. When the Lord asked me to make him Lord of my life, there was a lot more to that journey. And to me, Pilgrim's Progress, it sort of embodies that journey. Mm-hmm. And I do a series called The Torchlighters, an animated series, and I'd done an episode on Bunyan when he was in prison. And so I knew what he was talking about. He didn't write this in the comfort of his study. He wrote this with whatever he was able to write. At least it was in his imagination in prison. And I felt that message of, look, you come to know Jesus, but then your journey is just beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's what Pilgrim's Progress is all about.
I got to say, sitting there, which is sort of weird, sitting there beside Bob Lapine with a bag of popcorn between us.
We were sharing this.
This is sort of strange. My wife's like, can I get some? Oh, yeah, here you go. But no, seriously, the thing that hit me the most in watching the movie, which was really well done, and it's really the story, Pilgrim's Progress, but that was the part that hit me. Even Bob, when you said, hey, what do you remember the most? It was like when he got to the point where you think, okay, now he's going to follow Christ and he's going to get rid of the burden. It's going to be easy now. And you guys made it so clear that it's just the beginning and all the temptation and all the struggle. That's what I loved about the movie. It was real. It was like, that's a Christian journey that's really still very, very hard.
It's a provocative part of the original story that you've now carried in here, because Pilgrim comes to the door that says, you know, knock and it shall be opened.
Yeah.
And it's opened. And we would think, well, this is the point where his sins are forgiven. And yet what Bunyan's trying to say is, this is where he's on the beginning of the journey. He hasn't believed the gospel yet. He's just in the process of pursuing Christ, right?
It's conversion that it's not necessarily an instant conversion. And even in my life, I know my life changed, but my conversion process continues to this day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, every single day I have a choice. And even when I think I'm doing well, I'm still learning. You know, it's a journey of the Holy Spirit bringing us all the way to the city of celestial city.
We are changed in a moment. There's a point in time where we receive the new birth, where our sins are forgiven. But there's a whole life after that is the process of becoming more and more like Christ.
Right. And it's not always easy. It's not always a pleasant journey.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't. And I think we as Christians have to realize that, especially in the West. I do a lot of work in Asia and in other countries where Christians are a minority.
Mm.
And they're not exempt from suffering.
Right.
In fact, Christ uses suffering for good. I always tell people, look, the thing about being a Christian is we're going to go through the same things in life. You could either go without God or you can go accompanied by God.
Mm.
Do you guys remember the first time you read this book?
You know, I don't, because I really grew up with it and growing up as a Christian. And I think it became more and more real to me through my travels with Pastor Richard Wambrand, and who wrote the book Tortured for Christ. And he became my spiritual mentor. And I realized exactly what we were saying before, is that there's so much glory, potential, and suffering, in that the trials that we face produce these amazing things. And I think my Christian life being a journey, and I identified with the Pilgrim's Progress, but identified with it even more working on the script and working on the film. If you think about it, Bunyan wrote it in prison. He didn't have to stay in prison. They offered him, sign this letter, you'll stop preaching, and you can get out of prison. And he said, no, if you let me out, I'm going to preach. Now think about it. If I was there with him, I'd say, John, just sign the letter. You know, preach a little.
Well, right. You think
preach to
you,
me.
You could do more outside.
You can do more outside. Exactly. And I think Richard Wambrandt spent 14 years in communist prison, and I filmed his story last year, and I filmed in his prison, and I didn't feel overwhelmed by the suffering he endured. I felt overwhelmed by his choice to go there, because he spoke up against communism. And I'm behind the camera going, don't do it. Hmm. So my heart was saying, don't set yourself up to endure all this suffering. Maybe I would have said the same thing to John Bunyan. Don't set yourself up to endure all the suffering. Maybe we would have said the same thing to Paul. Mm. Don't endure all the suffering, and we would have missed all the letters of the New Testament. So the journey for me has been, God uses suffering. I don't wish suffering upon anybody. I watched my granddaughter, you know, nearly die from, she's diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. I don't wish that on anybody. But what does God do with the trials we face? And that's what the story means to me. It's not a lot of people say they read the book every year, and that's what I love, because they feed from it. It's like scripture kind of tossed into a different story we call an allegory. Maybe it's a big parable. Mm. And it's just something that has to be experienced for me.
And my experience with the film was that about every 5 minutes I wanted to push pause and just reflect on what we had just seen Pilgrim go through, because it's one spiritual nugget after another. That's true about the book, but it's true in the movie as
well.
Yeah,
you almost wonder if after the film's out and people see it, they do that very thing. You know, when they can take it home, if they use it as a tool, even with their neighborhood. People have never understood the book, never seen it. Just let's watch a scene and let's hit pause and let's discuss spiritual matters, because it's right there.
I mean, that's really our dream. That's our hope.
Yeah. I think for a lot of the projects that we've worked on, we always take into consideration two things. And one is for the believer, that it becomes something that would aid in conviction. Because we need to be we need that all the time. You know, we need to be woken up to the things that are going on around us. And then for the non-believer, what about the person that walks in and doesn't quite get it? But doing it in an animated format, you see the journey of this man, and a lot of what goes on in people's hearts is placed on screen. But I think there are layers of depth in the story and in the film as well. And I think eventually turning it into something like a study guide or something that you can do that. You can do it with a book where you stop and you let the Holy Spirit speak to you about legality or, you know, worldliness or taking the easy way out or the flatterer, which is when this guy shows up and just begins to tell him how he just admires how spiritual they are. And before you know it, Christian and Hopeful are yes, well, actually, you know, and I did fight Satan, you know, and it was tough and nobody ever did that before. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, it just leads them into a trap. One thing that's really great from the film that I really liked is close to the end, when the flatterer comes, and one of the shining ones, which is like one of the angels, comes and says, "Didn't the shepherd give you a map?" And Christian says, "Well, he gave us instructions, but a map he didn't give us." And she says, "The king's instructions are a map. Right. Didn't they tell you where to go and where not to go?" And stuff like that is just, you know, it's deep. I mean, you go back and go, this is the word of God.
Those are life lessons right there. What's funny, when our kids were little, not too little, but elementary school, I remember reading this out loud with them and stopping in those moments of those great teachable moments and talking about what does this look like in your world, in today's world. And now to have this animation to go along with it, I think for this generation of adults and kids will be great in terms of talking through this.
Well, and we watched it in a room that had lots of moms and dads and kids, including some pretty young kids. And we ask at the end, okay, how did your 4-year-old or your 5-year-old do? And they got a little squirmy, because this is not Blue's Clues, okay? This is not Dora the Adventurer.
Yeah,
this,
I was scared at points.
Were you?
No, I'm serious. It was
intense.
It was so well done. Even the law, legality. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way you portrayed that, I was like, what a great picture of how the law smothers you.
Yeah, legalism.
Right. Yeah, legalism. Exactly. And it was, even the sound was, you're pushed back in a good way.
Yeah.
It's exactly the kind of depth you want for people to feel that weight, because then they want the light. They want the burden lifted.
Well, I'm thinking about next week and people going to theaters on Thursday night or on Saturday for the matinee, which, again, the only two times it's showing next week, Thursday night and Saturday. It's in about 700 theaters, so you can get more information. You can go to familylifetoday.com, and we've got information available there about how you can find the movie in a theater near you. You might not want to take your 5- or 6-year-old, especially because of some of the intense
parts. Yeah, my granddaughter
parts.
Would be afraid
right.
of some of that.
But if you've got older elementary, if you've got middle school, even your high school kids who are like, it's a cartoon, right? It's an animated movie. I expected that I might get a little restless because it's 2 hours long of animation, right? I didn't get restless at all watching this film, because the spiritual truth being communicated is so powerful and so profound. You are just caught up in this story. You guys have done a great job.
Oh, thank you. I mean, there's a lot of highs and lows in the story. You know, there's parts that are, I think there's a lot of depth in the whole thing, but there's also a lot of action and adventure. because that's what the way Bunyan wrote it as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got the epic things with the dragon and the big fight in the Valley of Humiliation. You've got the creatures, which are actually the demons that work with Apollyon. And so there's all kinds of things like that. And then you've got the fantasy issue of Vanity Fair.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to it. It's enjoyable, but it's also deep.
When you were writing a screenplay, you're adding to what Bunyan wrote. You're adding dialogue and stuff.
Yep.
Did you kind of feel like, I can't mess with Bunyan
it's
here?
It's the canon.
Yeah.
I'll tell you,
there's one thing about the process of writing, and I've done a lot of projects. And usually whenever I get into writing, I do a lot of, like the Torchlighters is really all biographies of real heroes, you know. It's always it's like a fight with the devil. It's like going into a room and saying, okay, I'm going in here for a couple of weeks and I'm just going to really fight it out. And with the one of Bunyan, of course, I was really praying desperately and a lot of people praying for me as well. The main reason that we had to add a few things is because the book itself begins with Christian already with the burden on his back. And so there's a lot of discussion about what is this burden? Is it a sins or is it conviction? Is it, you know, what's causing him to feel this burden because he's actually reading the book? So the book is like the Bible, the Word of God. But in the story, he has a strong desire to get to the celestial city. And we wanted to make this also relatable to people that he wanted to get to the celestial city, not just for himself, not just because, oh, I'm going to save myself and, you know, forget everybody else. But to me, it's like when God does something in our lives, he always turns us back around. Mm-hmm. He never lets us keep the blessing. He always turns us around to the people behind us, people around us, and he points them out. And he goes, now, what about them? Mm-hmm. With Christian, just following the journey, even of Bunyan's life, it was always for others. Mm-hmm. And so we embedded this in Christian's personality, in his character, that he wanted to go. He wanted to prove the celestial. He wanted to see it himself. But once he got there, he wanted to go back, and this is where the story kind of takes a twist, which I'm not going to say what it is. So we had to add some of that. We had to add some of the background of the City of Destruction, which is in the book, where it came from, how it originated, why did he want to leave. So there's a few little things like that, but they're all true to the spirit of the story.
I have to tell you, as the movie started and everybody's working in the City of Destruction, I kept expecting to hear, look down, do, 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 do. It has a little of that feel right there.
A little bit of that, yes.
Yeah. Awesome. You guys, what's the dream? If you could paint a picture for us, what would your dream for this movie be?
I really want it to be shown on the mission field, and we made it with that in mind, a film that would translate. And I've traveled to a lot of countries, and I've been to a lot of countries where this story is known. There is a family right now in prison in China because they had this book on their coffee table.
Wow.
Really? And this book is not illegal in China, but this particular community, they're so against Christianity and the spread of Christianity that this family, this husband and wife, is currently in prison, and we've been trying to follow that case. Richard Wurmbrandt paid and to have it translated and printed into Russian during the communist era. So people were risking their lives to distribute the Bible and Pilgrim's Progress. And my goal is to be the second most watched film on the mission field. We all love the Jesus film. We all know the amazing work that film has done. And I've often asked people, we know the Jesus film, but what's the second mission film? You know, and usually people just kind of look and they think and they're not sure. I want to fill that role. I want the Jesus film and Pilgrim's Progress to be side by side. And we have committed we will give it away to every mission, every missionary, every mission society. Our goal is to translate the film into 100 languages. It'll make it the most translated animated film in history.
Wow. You've already got it translated into Farsi. And what were you telling me about?
Farsi, Mandarin, Spanish. We're working on Korean.
It's going to be on TV in Iran?
It's going to be on Iran Alive on satellite. We're projecting 6 million viewers. These are 2 million secret Christians and 4 million Muslim seekers.
That's really amazing.
And then I just found out that a man who owns a network in Iran, and it's a secular, the government killed his brother. They were against his brother, and he's now a Christian, and he goes, I'm putting that animation on my station. Wow. And that's a secular station.
Wow.
So we want it out there. You know, it's actually not that hard of a goal if you're willing to do the work, you're willing to make the right film, to translate it, and to offer it freely. So for us, it's not about, yes, we're not going to give it free to Amazon. You know, so we hope to honor the commercial side and the people that have invested with us. But we will never We maintain control of the film because it has to be free to the missionary. Mm. It has to be free to missions. And we get everything from Iran Alive, which will air it to 6 million people, to I have a lot of people write to us and say, we're doing an outreach at Easter to the homeless in our community. We always like to do something special. Can we use your film this year? Mm. And I'm like, absolutely. How do I get it to you? And that blesses me as much as the 6 million people because it can be used. It's not. Robert and I are excited to be here and to go to the theater and to be on your radio program, but this is not our story. Mm-hmm. This is John Bunyan's story. Mm-hmm. And we did everything we could to be faithful to the story first. And sure, we worked on a limited budget for the animation, but the team did the best job they could with the resources they had, and we are so proud of them. Our big dream is to be the mission film right next to Jesus film.
Well, and I just have to say, related to the animation, I mean, audiences need to recognize as they go, there's some amazing animated films today. You look at the Pixar films, you look at some of this stuff, and you could walk in and see your film and go, boy, this is just not up to snuff in terms of modern animation. But it takes about 5 minutes before that all goes away.
Yep.
Because of the power of the story. And you did a beautiful job with a limited production budget for animation.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and colors and and texture. I leaned over to one guy and I said, so they used a drone shot there, right, where they flow it. Yeah, it's a little animation joke, right? But you really did a remarkable job with a limited budget to create this film.
We had 3% of an average studio animation.
Wow.
That was our budget.
Really?
Their contingency fund is larger than our budget.
So anybody who goes Thursday night or Saturday to see this in theaters, in addition to being encouraged by what they see and being challenged and I think loving what they're going to see, they're also helping to fund the distribution of this film all over the world.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I got to add this because, you know, Robert, when you told how you came to Christ, here's what hit me. First thought was this. There's somebody listening right now to radio.
Yeah. Mm.
You were listening to radio. And, you know, it's easy sometimes to sit here and not even realize God's going to use these words to touch a young boy or woman or a husband or wife, you never know, in a powerful way.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be just one little verse like for you.
Mm-hmm.
But then here's what else hit me, which you already know, but I just thought, wow, how powerful. So you're doing the same thing now that somebody did for you.
Right.
Some guy gets on a rock station and quotes a verse, and he probably has no idea you were led to Christ and are going to impact the world. And now you're using a medium, animation, with a powerful script, and it's going to literally change legacies. And people are going to the city because you guys committed to Jesus to use the medium of film. I'm sitting there almost emotional thinking all around the world, what you received is going to be passed on just like Kristen in the movie. Mm. You know, what he has, this other motive is like not just about me, it's about through me. I'm looking at two saints. Seriously, well, saints in the right way, set apart by God to do the mission of God. Thank you. I just can't imagine how many millions of people are going to be led to Jesus through you guys committing to use this medium to get the message to them.
Well, there's, you know, the power of the visual of creation and, and like the Lord, God is creative and he constantly does things to be able to bring people to himself. And I'm reminded of the story. I worked in Asia for a long time. And there was this one gentleman that I spent maybe about 12 months, maybe 2 years, whatever, more than that, trying to explain the gospel to him. And over, and he just, you know, he would never come, he would never get to the point where he'd come to the Lord, but he'd always want to talk to me. Mm-hmm. So I'd always go see him, you know. And I use a lot of metaphors, a lot of illustrations to try to get him to understand. So then he takes a trip to Italy, and he comes back, and he calls me up, and goes, I need to talk to you right away. So I go over to his office. And he goes, I went to Italy, and I was in this chapel where they had a replica of La Pietà, which is the one with has Mary holding Jesus. Jesus is dead, and it's draped in her arms. And he goes, in this particular place, I walked in, and I was just really moved by the beauty of this sculpture. But there was this light coming down from the ceiling right on Jesus and on his hands. Mm-hmm. And it was this hole, like from a nail that was missing, that landed right in his arms. And he goes, and right there, I understood what Jesus had done for me. And he had a conversion experience. Mm-hmm. He didn't have it with me. I mean, God used whatever our conversations
you'd sowed seeds. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I know. But at the moment of conversion, it was between him and the Lord. And whatever way God might have used me, I can almost guarantee that the power was by any verse or any part of the Word of God that I might have shared. Whether I would have said the King James or whatever it is, it was the translation of it in my life. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't about me. It was about what God had done. And so you never know what a picture, an image, a thought, a musical note, how God can use it in the life of somebody, yeah, not only now, but over years to come.
Well, would to God that there would be, in the seeds of this movie, mm-hmm, there would be, as you said, millions of believers and of missionaries who are launched as a result of seeing this film. Guys, thank you for sharing the film with us, and thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And again, if you're interested in finding out more about the film, where it's going to be showing in a theater near where you live, go to our website, familylifetoday.com. There's a link to the trailer and the site that's got all of the information about the upcoming movie. Again, go to familylifetoday.com to find out more about the Pilgrim's Progress movie. It'll be in theaters next Thursday night and next Saturday afternoon. And if you've got kids ages 8 and up, they will enjoy this film. As a matter of fact, if you don't have kids, this is still a film that you will enjoy and benefit from seeing. I mean, I went without any kids, and I thought it was a great film and very thought-provoking. So again, find out more at familylifetoday.com. Now, the president of Family Life, David Robbins, is here. You didn't get a chance to see the movie, but you're—
I did not on that day, but I look forward to it.
You're planning
to go?
Because I
know Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah.
I love Pilgrim's Progress and the incredibly powerful story that it is that God has used through the centuries. And I love that we have a new way and a new genre of being able to view it and to watch it with our kids and have conversations about this powerful story that it is. You know, Bunyan in the story personifies the value of enduring and choosing personal suffering for the sake of others. And my mind went to two places when I was thinking about Pilgrim's Progress. One, it reminded me of Dennis and Barbara Rainey, how much God has done through them. And we've heard their highs throughout the decades, and we've heard, and they've invited us in with honesty into many of their lows over the years and the ways that they have endured with faithfulness. And they really have modeled perseverance through trials and not just endurance for the sake of endurance, but endurance for the sake of others and the good of families and for the gospel and for God and His glory. And I think if the Rainies were in studio today, the other place my mind went is something I think they would be bringing up is I hear them say often, we were only following what Jesus modeled. And anything that points us to Jesus's endurance for our sake, we should be thankful for. Yeah. And this film, I believe, will certainly do that because the story is so powerful, and it's one of the really the reasons I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed it. Again, it's Thursday night or Saturday matinee this coming week, and there's more information online at familylifetoday.com. Thanks for stopping in here.
Thank you.
Now, this is a big weekend for us here at Family Life. We have 9 Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaways happening this weekend. You ready? Anaheim, California, in Chicago, in the northern suburbs, Columbus, Ohio, Des Moines, Iowa, Kalamazoo, Michigan, Lake Tahoe, Portland, Maine, San Francisco, and Seattle, actually out in Bellevue. So there will be thousands of couples joining us this weekend for 2.5 days of encouragement and relaxation and fun and equipping for their marriage. Would you pray for these couples as they get ready to spend a weekend with us this weekend? Pray that God will meet with them and do a great work in their marriage relationship between now and Sunday afternoon. And if you'd like to find out more about the Weekend to Remember, we've still got dozens of these events happening this spring. Go to familylifetoday.com for more information, or you can call us at 1-800-FL-TODAY. And thank you to those of you who make events like this possible. You make all of Family Life Today possible, this radio program, our website, the resources we create, the events we host. When you donate to this ministry, you become a partner with us in the work that God is doing through Family Life Today. And if you can make a donation right now, we'd love to say thank you by sending you a set of resurrection eggs. This is a tool we created years ago to help teach young children the Easter story. Help them understand the gospel using 12 plastic eggs that have icons, symbols inside that tell you the Easter story. Again, a set of resurrection eggs is our gift to you when you donate today. Make your donation online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to donate, and we appreciate your partnership with us. And we hope you have a great weekend. Hope you and your family are able to worship together in your local church this weekend. And I hope you can join us back on Monday when we're going to talk about the season of life when we are not yet married. And if you hear that as a single person and think, I don't like being called a not yet married person because that may not be who I am, well, Marshall Siegel will be here to explain why he uses that phrase. And we'll talk about the challenges singles are facing in our culture today. Hope you can tune in for that on Monday. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back Monday for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.